How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint? Dents? Dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. With Maaco's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. This is the Scholar Report, Scholar.com, a global technology firm. Transforming the retail space with digital signage around the world. And we go around the world now with the news of supply chain catastrophes. The COVID surge in China shuts down Shenzhen, the technology hub, for a week at least. Other provinces are also damaged by the shutdown. At the same time, we have a report from Japan that an earthquake with a tsunami warning that didn't turn out. This earthquake has extended into the factories, the car building factories of Japan and the semiconductor factories of northern Japan. Then there is the war in Eastern Europe, which damages the soft commodities and the metal commodities. Remember, nickel and neon are needed, and Russia and Ukraine are suppliers of the resources we need to build EV cars or to build any cars. At the same time, Europe is facing an imminent risk of recession because of the cutoff of Russian credit, and the banking system is shaky. You don't know about secondary sanctions. In addition to all that, the Federal Reserve moves a quarter point, promising six more, or speculating on six more this year, to contain an inflation that is now the highest since Ronald Reagan was president. And we were coming out of the Carter-OPEC battles of the late 20th century. And then we have the Cold War, adding the defense budgets to our NATO allies and to the United States. And then we have the uncertainty of the future with a moat built between Germany and the Baltic states and Poland and Russia. This is not globalization. This is something like the Second World War, adding in nuclear weapons and then turning Stalin hostile while he's alive. Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scholar.com. Forgive me, Chris, for going on, but it seemed like a tangle of challenges to the supply chain. And here we are waiting for deliveries in the port of Los Angeles. The one possible note is that FreightWaves.com, an American shipper publication, is reporting, is this the calm before California's port's next cargo storm? Improved velocity and fluidity, yet higher risk after China COVID outbreak. Trying to find something in the clouds that isn't rain. How is your experience? Because you've got global business and you're feeling all of these, from the possible conscription in Europe to the possible shutdown in China. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. The China shutdown is probably the most concerning issue on radar relative to supply chain at the moment. With Shenzhen, Guangzhou, Dongguan, that is truly the Silicon Valley and the manufacturing heart for all electronics coming out of China. We were informed last Monday that all production, all factories were closed for at least 7 days, and that the Chinese government was going to reassess on the 21st of March whether things will be allowed to reopen or not because of the COVID outbreak there. The rumors have it that that may be a multi-week shutdown, and that will shut down all consumer electronics that come out of that region, including things like iPhones, iPads, transistors, capacitors, things that go into lots of other things that are made and used in automobiles, home electronics, etc. So it's going to be a very, very bumpy road for the next several months. If the Chinese restart that economy or restart that area next week, it's some disruption. If it stays shut for the next month, good luck in trying to buy an iPad in the future. They'll become very scarce.
So your measure is that the China shutdowns are the major problem. All these other moments are challenging, and certainly in terms of prices and availability. There are empty shelves in Moscow. There's the price of food getting higher everywhere. But China is what damages What economy, Chris? Are we talking about high-end electronics, the ability to buy an EV, or are we talking about everything we buy and eat and pay taxes on?
Certainly a significant amount of the electronics industry where in China, in that region, if not all of the chips being made there, they're typically all assembled into final products there. Using Foxconn as an example, the main factory that builds most Apple products with nearly a million people in that factory and in that region, supporting Apple as a business, it's hugely disruptive because not only will it be those end products, but a lot of the other components that go into auto or home appliances or other originate in that region. So it will send huge problems throughout the industry.
There is also COVID in Europe. It's very difficult to judge. It's called a surge, but everything is relative. Is your understanding that Europe was attempting to return to recovery or was recovering before the Ukraine war? And that the Ukraine war's resolution will give Europe a chance? Or are we looking at what appears to be, because of the China story and because of the supply chain, a pause in the recovery? Can we tell, Chris?
I think not only pause in the recovery, but maybe a further disruption. With Germany seeming to go back into a COVID surge, that's problematic. When you look at Ukraine and the tragedy that's going on there, but also the impact to supply chains, things such as neon that are used in lasers for semiconductor auto parts. The war is going to have a series of further economic disruptions. And if there is yet another COVID wave now that started in Germany or is propagating through Germany and throughout Europe, that could be another possible point for a shutdown. Hopefully not, but wait and see.
International companies doing business in Russia, the list is long of the companies leaving, not just the banks, not just the high end, but fast foods. I was speaking to someone who's lived a long time in Moscow, and he was remembering fondly the episode of McDonald's opening its first store in Russia in 1990. This is the Gorbachev era of glasnost before the fall and collapse of the Soviet Union. I'm reading now that McDonald's is very popular throughout Russia and that 62,000 people work for McDonald's in Russia. Now out of work, McDonald's has shut down its facilities. The announcement yesterday is that McDonald's will continue to pay its employees at the tune of $50 million a month. I give all these details because other franchises can make their own decisions. But we're talking about the bottom line for the quarter, maybe the first half of the year for these franchises. Has Wall Street taken that into account? Are the business relationships adjusting to a diminution, 5 to 9% of the expected quarterly income?
John, I think now everyone is trying to react to the facts on the ground. The challenge for a company of scale, $50 million a month is not a tremendous amount of money at a scale of company like McDonald's. But what if this goes on for a year or two or three? Having that short-term solution is great and admirable, but longer term, it's a very, very tricky proposition. And from a business perspective, what are the obligations of a brand in such a thorny environment? It's a very tricky scenario.
There are the day after planners. We know the diplomats are planning the day after shooting stops. It could go on for years as a frozen conflict. Have you heard that the franchises, the big banks, the retail stores are planning for the day after the shooting stops to go back into Russia? Can they take into account this apparent seizing of Russian assets, or at least freezing of Russian assets, that makes their banking system extremely unreliable and crashes the ruble? Is there any talk like that going on, Chris?
I think that the question would certainly be, there are a lot of companies, whether it be energy industry or banking industry, that have significant interest in Russia and in that energy business as a whole. Those may be easier to turn back on, but the real question will be post resolution of this issue, will the Russians allow it back in, or have we burned bridges to both the people within Russia and at the governmental level that may be very difficult, very tedious, very time consuming to rebuild? It's certainly going to have an economic impact for several years.
You and your colleagues running global businesses that are built upon the technology wizards, is there migration out of Ukraine and Russia, because these are digitally savvy young people. I'm told that the best educated are planning to exit Russia if this continues, to find work outside. Have you seen anything like that, Chris?
I think we've seen a Russian diaspora that's really started very aggressively of the more westernized, liberal, and more educated leaving, the challenge being long-term, what does that mean for others coming up in that system? Does Russia separate itself from the global economy? Does China separate itself from the global economy? After seeing that now economic power is wielded as a weapon of war and could be targeted, maybe it was Russia this time, maybe next time it's China, do they start to insulate themselves against that future risk and decouple from the Western world? Very much unknown.
Here we are in springtime, 2022. We've talked about a timeline before. Have you developed one with your colleagues in conversation for recovery? 2023, 2024, what does it look like, Chris?
22 is definitely off the table. 23 is probably dependent upon, with the global raising of interest rates, what shocks that sends throughout the economic system. It's very clear that there are huge economic disruptions in China, more economic disruptions coming in Europe, both war-related and general economy-related. So at least the next 12 to 24 months are going to be very rocky.
The horsemen of the apocalypse is how our ancients described moments like this. Chris Riegel, he is the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space, and will again when we emerge from the earthquakes and the pandemics and the wars and the unknowns. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.